Praise the Lord.
And if so, who are you encouraging to also begin that journey with the Lord? Are you a follower of Jesus? If so, who are you helping in their journey with the Lord? This morning I want to continue my Moving Ahead sermon series. Excuse me. This morning we want to think about moving ahead in discipleship and disciple making. Now, before we jump into the scriptures, I'd like to call your attention to a couple things to keep in mind. And one of those things is our statement of purpose as a congregation. What is that? Well, if you need to refresh your memory, it's printed on the top of our bulletin each Sunday. Our purpose as a congregation is to lead people to Jesus Christ and to equip them to minister to others. So keep that in mind. Then this Sunday, I also printed in the bulletin LMC's mission statement. I don't know if you have seen that or paid attention to it. It was actually in the last two issues of Shalom News. But LMC's mission statement is a Spirit-led movement to make disciples of Jesus, mobilize every member as a missionary, multiply faith communities locally and abroad. So again, that's there. You might want to come back to that perhaps this afternoon or sometime this week and reflect on those two statements, our own statement of purpose as a congregation and our network of churches mission statement. Now, the reason for that mission statement and the reason for that statement of purpose is because of what we discover when we open the pages of Holy Scripture. So let's do that now. Let's open the Bible to some scripture that we might hear the call from the Lord to be a disciple and the call from the Lord to be making disciples. First of all, let's look at the call to be a disciple. We're turning to Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." Now, there are a number of things that actually play into this matter of being a disciple of Jesus. But before we look at those, I'd like us to think about something that to me is very encouraging. It's been actually encouraging to me over the years, and that is that becoming a disciple of Jesus is something that is a possibility, that is available, that is an option for common, ordinary people. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were fishermen. There probably was nothing that spectacular or that special about their bios. They were probably not listed in Who's Who in Galilee. They were probably not considered one of the movers and shakers in that particular part of the world at that time. They were ordinary guys doing ordinary work from day to day. And the reason I said that's an encouraging thing to me is this: as I was growing up, I considered myself to be quite an ordinary fellow doing my thing. If we fast forward a bit, we read about Peter and John getting arrested for talking to people about Jesus and the resurrection. It was creating quite a ruckus, creating quite the pushback. They were taken into custody because there was such a response to their gospel witness. What? Common, ordinary guys. But after recording some of what took place, it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." There's something that stands out. There's something that is distinctive, whether or not one is ordinary or one is otherwise, but when one has been with Jesus. Peter and John were not seminary grads. They were not Bible school students. They were fishermen who became disciples of Jesus. And the good news is that God calls, that God invites common, ordinary people to become disciples. Disciples. Having said that, let's think now about several things that are a part of this call to be a disciple of Jesus. First of all, there is the call to follow Jesus. Did you notice that word in our worship service this morning? It came through on a number of those songs, did it not? To me, it's absolutely striking how the four fishermen responded to the call of Jesus when he said, "Follow me." According to verse 20, Peter and Andrew immediately left their nets and followed him. According to verse 22, James and John immediately left their boat and their father and followed him. They followed him. Now, for some of us, the response is not as immediate. You know, we're inclined to ponder things more, to mull things over, to think things through. That was what it was like for me. I would think on those things. I still remember it as I was laying on my bed there in my apartment at 4407 South 22nd Street. That was the address, wasn't it? A long time ago in Omaha, Nebraska. But whether the decision to follow Christ is immediate or whether it involves a process, the important thing is that there is a clear yes. There's a yes. There is a commitment to Christ. A commitment to follow him. To follow Christ is to accompany, to walk with, to stay close to identify with, to respond to Jesus. And it is, let me emphasize, it is to keep on following him. To keep on following him. So there's the call to follow Jesus. Secondly, there's the call to learn from Jesus. Notice again what Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, according to verse 19. "Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you. I will make you fishers of men.'" These fishermen had some things to learn. They needed to be mentored in some areas. They needed to be taught. They needed to be tutored. And that by the master teacher. When a person becomes a disciple of Jesus, they become an apprentice, as it were. Now, there are various trades in our day where people enter into an apprenticeship program. And over a period of time, they learn skills that are related to that particular vocational pursuit, whether that be things like plumbing or electrical work or whatever the case might be. Now, it's interesting, and boy, I was here when folks practiced for these songs Wednesday night, and it didn't register until we sang one of these songs this morning, but it was right there. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, we have recorded these words of Jesus: "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, the NLT, the New Living Translation, renders it, take my yoke upon you, let me teach you. Jesus said, let me teach you. You may be able to find a YouTube video showing you how to do all sorts of things. You know, how to make cranberry orange muffins, or how do you change that filter in the furnace or in the dehumidifier anyway? or how do you put together a resume these days? All sorts of things. Zillion other things. But when it comes to spiritual things, you and I do need to be yoked up with the Lord. We do need to learn from Him. He does need to be teaching us. There really are no shortcuts here. We need to continue learning the things of God, and we need to continue applying the spiritual truth that is brought out in the Scriptures and the things that have been revealed to us. We need to continue growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a process. It's an ongoing thing. So there's the call to follow Jesus. There's the call to learn from Jesus. And thirdly, there is the call, shall we say, to be on assignment for Jesus. To be on assignment for Him. What did Jesus say when He spoke to Peter and Andrew as they were casting a net into the sea? He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, one night, these guys were out on the lake, and it wasn't a fun thing like the time when Diane and Kathy and I were in the tall ship Manitou up on Lake Michigan. It was a floating B&B, bed and breakfast. Still remember that breakfast the next morning. But the guys were about their work. They were fishing, and they were out there all night. And they caught nothing. It must have been hugely disappointing and discouraging. Jesus comes by and says to Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. That's in Luke 5, verse 4. And Peter said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. What happened? They let down their net. And they caught a great number of fish, we're told, so many, in fact, that the net was breaking. And the guys, the Bible says, were astonished at what took place, verse 9 of Luke 5. And the response of Jesus at this point, we need to listen carefully here. The response was, do not be afraid, from now on you will catch men. And then it says in Luke 5:11, so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, sometimes people, that may be us, sometimes there's a bit of an apprehension in stepping out for the Lord, surrendering to Him. A person may be just a little bit nervous, wondering where is this all going to take one? Where is this going to end up at? What's it all going to involve for me over the years? But Jesus says, do not be afraid. And one of the reasons that you and I should not be afraid when it comes to being a disciple is that the Lord has promised never to leave nor forsake His people. What we need to realize is that God not only wants to work in our lives, but He wants to work through our lives. I think that's a huge thing to catch on to. God not only wants to work in our lives, but He wants to work through our lives. The lesson for the fishermen was that they would be on assignment for the Lord. And in this assignment for the Lord, God would work in astonishing ways to impact other people and that they too might come to faith in Christ. It was all a part. It is all a part for God to advance His kingdom on earth. So, have you experienced God working through you? Have you had times when you realized that you were smack dab? You were smack dab in the middle of something that God was doing. Yes, it was a divine appointment. I mean, it was orchestrated by Him. It was His doing. He was working. He was working through you. I hope so, because it's all part of being a disciple of Christ. To be a disciple is to follow Jesus. And when we follow Jesus, who knows what takes place? To be a disciple is to follow Jesus, to learn from Jesus, and to be on assignment for Jesus. Now, I had said that we want to talk today about moving on in regards to discipleship and disciple making. So let's move on now and think a bit about the call to make disciples. Actually, I didn't say that, but this last part, this third point that I just talked about, was actually getting into disciple making. And so there's some overlap here. But I'm turning now in the scriptures to Matthew chapter 28, where we find this taking place following the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So here we are, Matthew 28, verse 16, on to the end, which is verse 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Now, some people are called to literally pack their bags and go someplace. And so we have folks like Mark and Trish Edwards who packed their bags on one of their times that they were moving on and went to Kosovo. They literally moved on. The Adam Shank family packed their bags and moved to Chad, right? As a part of this call. The Randy Carr family packed their bags and they moved to Cory, Pennsylvania. Robert, Diane, and Kathy Wangard packed their bags and moved to Boardman. In most cases, however, people live out the calling that we've just heard Jesus give to his disciples right where they are at. As Myron Augsburger notes in his commentary on Matthew, "Go therefore and make disciples" is better translated, "While going in the world, make disciples." While going in the world, make disciples. And so the emphasis here is on making disciples. I can't help but think of back to a summer evening when Phil stopped by our place, there where we were living in Coshocton. Now, we had a little fenced-in, sort of just an open patio area, but it was fenced in the back of the house. And so I remember sitting back there chatting that evening. And just before dusk, I said to Phil, "You know, you've been attending the church for a while now. And if I remember correctly, Phil started coming because I believe it was Chris and Ruth who were doing some visitation one day. They were actually going around the area fairly close to where the church was and were seeing who might be home and inviting folks to church. And Phil came." But so I said, "Phil, you've been attending now for some time. Have you thought about committing your life to Christ and moving on with the Lord?" Well, Phil had actually been pondering those things. And the bottom line is that we had a prayer time together as we sat there among the flowers and the shrubs that evening. And Phil responded to Christ. He committed his life to the Lord. I couldn't help but think back, since we're having a baptism this morning. That ended up being a memorable baptism, and many of the baptisms, of course, are memorable. I don't want to diminish any one. But this one seemed to be especially so because that Sunday morning, I had given Phil opportunity to share anything he wanted to say before he took the baptismal vows. And it happened, thankfully, that his parents were Beachy Amish folks, but they came. They came to the service that morning because their son was being baptized. And so Phil, as he is sharing, shares a bit of regret at some of the grief that he caused his folks over the years. And his dad stands up immediately, sitting in back of the sanctuary, and says, "We forgive you." It was just powerful. Just powerful. Coming to Christ, forgiveness, reconciliation. It's been years since I've talked with Phil. I really should give him a call, see how he's doing. I trust that he is still continuing to be a witness for Christ in his business, and is seeking to pass along the faith. Anyway, we're to baptize people upon their confession of faith in Jesus. Doing so, Jesus said, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're to teach people to observe all things that Jesus commanded. Now, where would you say that you are at in this entire matter of disciple making? Have you made yourself available to the Lord? And so often it's not so much about our abilities as it is our being available. Have you made yourself available to the Lord, realizing that He wants to work through you? Or have you adopted the crazy, unbiblical mindset that this kind of gospel work is for pastors and missionaries only? Or exclusively. The call to be a disciple maker is for all followers of Jesus. According to the scripture, what is supposed to be happening is that Adam and I, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about pastors and teachers and so on equipping the saints for the work of ministry. So we're to be helping you, equipping you, so that together we can be about the business that the Lord has called us to. It's so that you can reach out to others, so that you can be an ambassador for Christ as you go about your daily activities. Now, is this something that you do on your own? Well, no, it is not. The very last thing that Jesus said in our text is, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let that one soak in. Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Moving ahead in discipleship and disciple making is not something we do on our own, but it's done under the leading of the Lord. It is Spirit-led. It is done under the equipping of the Lord. It is Spirit-led. Empowered. And what you and I need to do is to be open and responsive to the Lord. What do you say Are you on board? I love that slide they put together. Moving ahead in discipleship and disciple making. And there is the fellow casting out the net. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for all that you have done. We thank you for how you have been at work. We thank you for how you will continue to be at work. We want, oh God, to be a part of what you're doing. Lord, we pray that there would be many more times when we would be astonished at your work, whether here or around the world. May it continue, this entire matter of discipleship and disciple making, so that all might hear and have an opportunity to say yes to Christ. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would continue to flow in and through us, and that you in turn would be glorified and add to our numbers such as are being saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.